Hello and welcome to this week's reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're coming to the end of our series of looking at the characteristics of God. Not because we have run out of characteristics, but because the season of Lent is about to begin. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, which signals the beginning of the period of Lent, during which we remember Jesus' time in the wilderness, where Satan tempted him, but Jesus resisted and rebuked Satan. Jesus was able to stand firm against Satan's schemes because Jesus had the wisdom and guidance of God. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. The wisdom and guidance of God. So let me read from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him up to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendour. "All this I give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness with no food, no human interaction, and with the knowledge that he was about to start his ministry, which would end with his painful death on the cross and his resurrection. After all these times of lockdown, I can sympathise a small amount with the sense of isolation, but I cannot even begin to imagine how he felt after 40 days of no food and with the knowledge of what his future would hold. Clearly, his time in the wilderness was a testing time in many ways. And Satan attempted to exploit this, to entice Jesus away from God's purpose and instead into sinfulness. Satan tempted Jesus with three temptations that tried to take advantage of Jesus' vulnerabilities due to his time in the wilderness. Firstly, Jesus was hungry, and so Satan tempted Jesus to use his power to make food instead of depending on God, his heavenly Father. Secondly, as he was about to start his ministry, which he would face much physical and emotional pain, Satan tempted him with a quick fix solution to gaining people's attention and adoration by instructing him to jump from the temple and gain public notice. Of course, quick fixes are never really fixes in the end, are they? And of course, thirdly, Jesus was isolated and alone. And Satan tempted Jesus with the adoration and worship of all people, which, when you're feeling isolated, is pretty tempting, I would imagine. In all these temptations, Satan attempted to get Jesus to disobey God and take shortcuts instead of trusting and relying on the providence of God and in following God's plan. Jesus' response to every temptation thrown at him was to rely on God's wisdom and guidance, as revealed to us in God's word, the Bible. When tempted to satisfy his hunger, Jesus tells Satan, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God," which is a quotation from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. When Satan instructs Jesus to throw himself from the temple, Satan even tries to use scripture to con Jesus into disobeying God. But Jesus knows better, and he responds, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And finally, when Satan asks Jesus to bow down to him, Jesus gets angry and says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So as we can see, when Jesus is challenged and goes through difficult times, he relies heavily on God's word to get him through. But what about us? When we are in times of trouble, when life is painful, do we turn to God's word to strengthen us? Or do we listen to Satan's lies and believe we can save ourselves if we try hard enough? I'm going to read some select verses from Psalm 107. It's a quite a long psalm, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. So I'll just give you a sense of it, but feel free to read it in your own time. So Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to their Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. And so the psalm continues. In this psalm, the psalmist points out various difficult circumstances that the Israelites get into, including a desert wasteland, the darkness of prison, homelessness and starvation, and stormy seas, among other things. These were some of the worst fears for the people of Israel at that time. But in all of these situations, God hears their cries and rescues them. And we face different kinds of fears, but just like with the people of Israel, God is with us in our fears. He hears our cries of distress and comes to our aid. That when people wandered in the desert wastelands, the psalmist says, God led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. God's wisdom guided them. They looked to God and he led them in a straight path. When we trust in God, he will lead us. He will guide us. Do you feel like you have wandered into a metaphorical desert, into a wasteland of life at the moment? I urge you, cry out to the Lord in your troubles. and God will hear your distress. He will provide a straight path that will lead you back into a place, into a safe place where you can settle. The psalmist notes that we often get into difficult circumstances because we wander away from God's guidance and decide that we can manage on our own. In verse 17, it says, "Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities." When we become confident in our own abilities, we begin to believe that we don't have to rely on God, we don't have to listen to his wisdom. But of course, that is a lie that Satan tells us. And we need to rebuke Satan's words, just as Jesus did. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We need to listen to every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is God's word that guides us back to the right path. And by listening to God's word, by reading his word in the Bible, we can find wisdom and strength for our life. And that means that we have to look at what he says. We have to memorize bits that give us the strength and the guidance we need, because when we're in those times of difficulty, we need to be able to recall what God says. God wants to guide us and give us his wisdom. He wants to make our path straight, to send out his word and guide us to a safe haven. But we have to trust in him, in what he says. We have to be willing to open our ears, to open our hearts and listen to him. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7, it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in God's wisdom and follow him. Too often we are convinced that we know what to do and where to go, and we end up in difficult situations. And this reminds me of a story that a friend of mine was telling me about a long journey that she was going on with her mother. Her mother was driving and my friend was prepared to navigate. Of course, her mum believed that she knew where she was going, so she said to my friend, "Take a nap because I know where to go. When I need help, I'll wake you up and ask you to navigate." So my friend took a nap, believing that her mum would wake her up and when she didn't know where she was. Of course, her mum was so convinced that she knew where she was and where she was going that she didn't ask for help. And so, of course, when my friend finally woke up, she looked around and realised that they were lost. Her mother had driven 4 hours in completely the wrong direction. Instead of going northeast, her mother had driven them southwest. This meant that their long journey had just become 8 hours longer, as they had to turn around and drive another 4 hours back the way they had just come before they could even begin heading in the right direction. Because my friend's mother believed in her own abilities and was probably a bit prideful and didn't want to ask for help, they travelled the wrong way. Let us learn from this and choose to ask God the right direction, because he is waiting, longing to show us the way, if only we trust in him. Amen.